Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Advocate Healthcare. And now it's time for the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Preview Special on 670 The Score with your hosts, Josh Liss, race director Carrie Pinkowski, and U.S. Marathon Olympian Jenny Spangler. Presented by Bank of America and brought to you in part by Nike, Abbott, Tata Consultancy Services, Air, Gatorade Endurance, Biofreeze, American Airlines, Wanda Sports, Chicago Tribune, and the Chicago Park District. Here's Josh Liss.
It's great to be back talking Chicago Marathon on The Score. I'm Josh Liss. On the show today, 2017 Chicago Marathon champ, four-time U.S. Olympian Galen Rupp, busy one of the favorites again in this year's race. We'll also get expert advice from a leading running coach, plus chat with a local guy, a friend of the show who's competed in every single Chicago Marathon. We'll ask if his streak will continue. Coming up in our first segment in just a moment. First, I want to loop in the other voices of this preview special, Olympian Jenny Spangler and race director Carrie Pinkowski. Everyone should know the stretch of Columbus Drive at the start and finish lines of the Chicago Marathon has long been renamed Honorary Carrie Pinkowski Way. So you know Carrie's been around a long time, right, Jenny? Seriously. Carrie, how is this return to racing after a year off because of COVID going to look and feel different to most of the 30,000 or so runners and many more spectators around the start and finish lines and along the course this year?
Sure, Josh. You know, this year, 2021, and I've said from the beginning, and it's just amazing. 728 days between these two events, which is just incredible. But it's going to look a little bit different. Obviously, we're taking local guidance. We're being careful with our social distancing. We're making some adjustments. So the finish line will look a little different. Expo will look a little different, but You drill down to the core of what the event is. That's going to be the same. We've got some familiar faces. We've got some great athletes up front. We're back with AM 670, The Score, with wire-to-wire coverage. So we're looking forward to having the team back for that. And, you know, that part of the event is not going to change. We've got some great athletes. We're going to be talking to Galen Rupp in later in the show. So got to be excited about it. I mean, it's a step back to in-person world, and I think this will be a big point. We had the Berlin Marathon last week that came off very well. So we're gonna get into it and look to the future with a lot of optimism and excitement.
Absolutely. Glad you're optimistic. Glad you're excited. I know my co-host on race day and here on the preview special, Jenny Spangler, you're also a running coach in the Chicago area. Has it been tricky for eager runners to stay on task and stay healthy leading up to this much anticipated return of the Chicago Marathon?
It has a little bit. And I was with a lot of my runners this week. We are doing some final tune-up marathon prep, and the goal was 4 by 1 mile at marathon pace, and everybody wanted to do 5 or 6 or 7 because they're just so antsy and excited to keep rolling. So I had to kind of hold them back a little bit this week, but I do say I was excited. I was walking down LaSalle Street this morning, and that blue line has been painted, so that's just one indication that we're getting closer and closer to marathon day.
The exact 26.2 miles measured out by that blue line on the course of the streets of Chicago. Great that's back after a year away. What do you say, guys, Carrie and Jenny, we pick up the pace, get to our first guest right now, once an aging athlete, like a lot of us have been, testing his fitness in his first ever Chicago Marathon. Over 4 decades ago, he never stopped competing, and now he's a legendary ambassador for this great race. Out of the Chicago suburbs, it's Randy Burt. Hi, Randy. We want to know how the fitness level is, and are you signed up once again to compete in the 43rd Bank of America Chicago Marathon? Randy, will the streak continue?
Hi, Josh. And yes, the streak will continue. The 43rd running.
Boy. We're happy to hear that. Let's just let that out. The streak will continue for Randy Burt, 43 in a row. Way to go, fella.
Well, thanks. We have to get to the finish line, but I've successfully finished all 42, plus the virtual last year. You know, I think it's important I mention the other alumni runners. There's a total of four of us who have completed all of them. One is Ron Williams, George Muller, Henry Kozlowski, and me. So there's four of us who have done them all, and it's quite an achievement.
Well, Randy, obviously refer to you as the Iron Man of the Chicago Marathon. It's amazing, and when you think about it, the fact that you trained for, started, and completed all of these events. It's along with the other guys. There's four of you total. It's just amazing. I mean, from my perspective, as you look back, I mean, obviously you've grown with the marathon. I'm going to say you're the only thing that has been consistent since the start of the marathon is Randy Burt. What was the most challenging year out of the 43 years for you to get to the start line?
Well, to get to the start line, let's see. I would say it was one of the races that we had when we used to start. Over by Lincoln Park Zoo, back in the 80s, I believe it was. And that was a little bit of a challenge to get to the start line. So that was a challenge. And there were a couple of them that were close calls. But other than that, I've had no problem. I get down to the start very early, much long before the race starts.
So, Randy, I know that you were a runner in high school. So when you signed up for your first Chicago Marathon, did you think it was going to be just one of those where I just want to take it off my bucket list, one and done? Did you have any idea that you were going to be going for this long year after year?
I did not. I started the first one in 1977. That was my first marathon. And I was 29 years old. And I thought, you know, I should do one of these before I'm over the hill. And I just continue to enjoy doing marathons. Never in my life did I think that I would be running this many years. This will be my 86th marathon. And as I mentioned, I'll be 74 years old in about 6 weeks.
Randy Burt, who's getting set to run in the 43rd running of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon next week, joins us now. He's out in the Chicago burbs. You also had a long Boston Marathon streak too, didn't you, Randy? I mean, what times have you sort of put up over the years? How have your times evolved and your purpose for running? Are you running for time or pleasure? How has that all evolved over the years?
That has evolved. I used to try and run to qualify for the Boston Marathon because that's a benchmark. And I did do that for 31 consecutive years, a total of 46 times for Boston. And my fastest was actually my best memory of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. It was 1984 when Steve Jones set the world record. I believe we had light rain that year, and I ran a 3:05. I could never break 3 hours, but I was very consistent at 3:10 for many years.
Wow. Well, Randy, the one of the questions
that's
I would
have—that's a solid number, Kerry.
That's
I know
a great
you,
number.
You jump, yeah.
I don't want to pull
I mean,
your
what kind
PR
of context
into this,
can you
Josh.
Put that in?
That's a heck of a performance. But Randy, I mean, 1977, your first Chicago Marathon, you're going to run in the 43rd running, 2021. I mean, are there some things that I mean? Things have changed. We can talk about the shoe, the technology, nutrition, apparel. Everything has gone mm-hmm. through a complete change. Are there some things that you're doing the same that you did in 1977, whether it's diet or is there some kind of superstition that you have that you'll do in 2021?
Well, you know what? I'm not doing anything the same as I did in 1977. The night before, I ate pepperoni pizza and had some red wine. I don't recommend that to anyone for the pre-race meal. Somehow I finished that thing in about 3 hours and 30 minutes, and I never ran that far before. I had only run 10 miles as my longest run prior to that. And then the clothes I wore were all cotton, so I was chafed in some real sensitive areas for a few days afterwards. So the diet's changed, the training has changed, the clothing has changed, the shoes have changed, everything has changed. But since about 1978, I've done things very similar. And yes, I do have superstitions that I follow. And I get up about 2:30 race day and go through all my things that I do.
So, Randy, can you speak to us about your family support? I mean, year after year, do they say, oh, he's doing another marathon again? Or have they been pretty supportive, and especially last year with the virtual experience?
They're pretty supportive, I'll tell you that. Yes, the marathon seems to come around quickly sometimes for some of them. But last year's virtual marathon, there wasn't anybody to watch that. I did it right here on the course that I run every day. So nobody was there, although one of the neighbors did run with me the last 6 miles, and then his son actually joined in for about the last two. So I had a little bit of fun and support with that, and it was convenient being right here at home. But I'm so excited to be back on the streets of Chicago, our beautiful course that Terry has put together, he and his team. People come here from all around the world to set their own personal records, because we're known for such a fast, flat course and oftentimes good weather.
And what is your goal for this year? When can we expect to see you crossing that finish line?
I hate to give out goals. You know, there's so many variables, you know, with weather.
I'm superstitious, Jay.
Randy Burt, put some pressure on yourself. Come on.
Okay.
You and Sarah Hall, you got to put some pressure on yourself.
I'll be conservative, and I'll say I think I can do it in 5 hours. In 2019, I did a 4:40. So we'll see how things go. You know, in the last few years, I've had nearly every kind of running-related injury that there is known to the human race. And it's just about managing these things.
You get over it. And that's awesome. That's
I'm doing
awesome.
It. I'm managing them.
And
another
Randy,
minute with Randy Burt, who's getting set to run in his 43rd marathon out of 43rd tries here in Chicago. So what do your doctors tell you about continuing like this, and what advice you may be able to pass on for everyday runners, maybe in your age bracket, Randy?
Well, physical therapy is something that does happen from time to time, and I'm probably going to work on my right knee after the marathon. But I did have one physical therapist who said, I'm too old to do this. And I said,
he doesn't know what he's talking about.
And that didn't last long. That was my one and only time with that person.
Right. Get rid of him.
What'd you tell that therapist when they told you to hang up the running shoes?
I just told him I'm running the marathons. And
there
he shook
go.
His head. And that was the end of that discussion. But really, for anybody, they can do it. You just have to find ways to manage. Once I knew that the qualifying for Boston Marathon was gone, I had to let it go, because that produced injuries with the speed training. That is what creates injuries and causes the old ones to come back to the surface more than anything. So,
Randy, we gotta close out here, but I would just like to just again recognize your streak. It's amazing, and recognize the fact that it's just not the training, starting and finishing, and navigating the injuries. But over 43 years, your family, work life, schedule, wedding receptions, graduations, all those things, that it's just amazing example of commitment. And I will reference my co-broadcasters here, Jenny Spangler and Josh List, where we decided to run the shuffle. And I said, let's start a tradition. They said, okay. It lasted 1 year. Okay, so in comparison. And it's 8K, so it's not the marathon. And Randy, you're a no-excuses guys. Josh and Jenny, they had an excuse, but they were thin.
Come on. Don't let this joker get you off task. We're trying to congratulate you on keeping the streak alive.
Yeah. Amazing streak.
Amazing.
I'm planning on at least 50. At least 50.
Oh. There you go.
We're in your corner,
yes.
Supporting you.
You heard it here.
Out of the mouth of race director Kerry Pinkowski. He's got your back. So good luck. All right. What do you say we catch our breath, guys? Mm-hmm. Olympian Galen Rupp's a little farther up the road on our preview special. Back after this on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Living in Chicago teaches you how to keep going, to take life's headwinds head on. And while our grit and determination don't come easy, we simply don't know any other way. On October 10th, we'll share that resilient spirit with the world as we proudly welcome the Bank of America Chicago Marathon back to our city. Together, let's celebrate the power to keep moving forward. What would you like the power to do? Learn more at bankofamerica.com/Chicago Marathon. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation.
Take part in the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Weekend by running the Abbott Chicago 5K on Saturday, October 9th. This scenic 5-kilometer run through downtown Chicago is the perfect way for marathoners, fans of the sport, and friends and family to celebrate all that can be achieved with good health. Runners will receive a unique bib number and finisher medal. Sign up today at chicago5k.com. That's chicago5k.com. For runners at the Bank of America Chicago Marathon, the real race begins when everything tells you to stop. That's why Gatorade Endurance Formula will be waiting for you along the course on race day. Scientifically formulated for the hydration and energy needs of endurance athletes, Gatorade Endurance Formula packs nearly 2 times the sodium and 3 times the potassium of traditional Gatorade, with no artificial flavors and a light taste to help you go farther. Available at Dick's Sporting Goods or go to GatoradeEndurance.com for more locations. Marathons come with aches and pains, and that's where BioFreeze can help. Whether it's sore muscles and joints, sprains or strains, BioFreeze applies easily and cools the pain to get back to your best. BioFreeze is fast-acting and provides powerful pain relief. Pick up BioFreeze at a store near you today so that you can train with what's on course. BioFreeze, cool the pain. Use as directed. Stay informed about the 2021 Bank of America Chicago Marathon with the Chicago Tribune's in-depth coverage. Find out where to eat, drink, and watch these inspiring athletes accomplish the feat of a lifetime. Worried about making your way to and from the race? The Chicago Tribune has your road closures, alternative routes, and public transportation options covered. Visit chicagotribune.com/marathon or subscribe today. Now, back to the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Preview Special, presented by Bank of America and brought to you in part by Nike, Abbott, Tata Consultancy Services, Advocate Healthcare, Gatorade Endurance, BioFreeze, American Airlines, Wanda Sports, Chicago Tribune, and the Chicago Park District. Here's Josh Liss, Kerry Pinkowski, and Jenny Spangler on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
A healthy return to large event racing features all 6 Abbott World Marathon majors running within 7 weeks. Berlin last Sunday, London tomorrow the 3rd, Chicago the 10th, Boston the 11th, Tokyo the 17th, New York November 7th. Can you believe an American, Shalane Flanagan, is running all 6 World Marathon majors. Jenny, she starts out at Berlin, 17th place. What did you think of her 2-hour, 38-minute, 32-second finish?
Oh, it was absolutely fabulous. You know, as you know, her goal is to try to run each one under 3 hours. So, to be honest, I thought she'd try to come in around 2:55, but she actually ran a 1:24 first half and right around a 1:14 second half. So she crushed it, and I am looking forward to watching her at London tomorrow.
And Kerry, this is no PR stunt. She's the real deal, right, Shalane?
It's an amazing performance. I mean, and what really moves me is the motivation behind it. She's reaching out to women and celebrating women in athletics. Jenny, mm-hmm. You've been a pioneer on that.
Yep.
With some youth groups, she's going to be in Chicago working with some of our charity groups and our youth running. So just, excited to have her. I tried as hard to get her when she was running full bore. But we're going to get her. I understand she's going to run in the Abbott 5K the day before and run the marathon. So we're looking forward to seeing her on her way. She'll be here. Mm-hmm. We got to get her in a car, get her to Boston, get her on the airplane because she's going to run the Boston Marathon 24 hours later.
Amazing. Awesome. The one and only Shalane Flanagan on her way to Chicago soon. Right now, you know, like all big races, the Bank of America Chicago Marathon relies on the support of many great sponsors, including Deloitte. Deloitte provides industry-leading audit, consulting, tax, and advisory services, many of the world's most admired brands. The Chicago Marathon is one of the brand names in racing we know, and Deloitte's Vice Chair and Central Marketplace Leader, Kathy Scherer, joins us now. Thanks for taking time for your busy day as an executive, Kathy. How would you describe Deloitte's relationship with the Chicago Marathon and why it's worth it to be a loyal partner with this race?
Well, thank you very much for having me today. And you're right, we have had a long-standing relationship with the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. And it really represents and dovetails with a lot of things that we're proud of about our culture. Here at Deloitte, we really try to make an impact that matters with our clients, with our people, and in the communities that we live and work in, much like the marathon is doing. And then the other thing is that we really place a high emphasis on well-being here at Deloitte, and that's all types of well-being, including physical well-being. And so we have a number of colleagues here that are actually avid runners. We have a running club and a number of colleagues that are running the marathon.
Well, Kathy, you know, thank you for Deloitte's continued support of running. And obviously, if any of us and Josh and Jenny have been at the Shamrock, we've seen your racing team. It is competitive on the corporate side and the open side. And I just see that team energy. And I know, having been at some Deloitte functions, I mean, front and center, the culture is a healthy and active lifestyle. And you can see that when they compete in the team competition. And I know we've been through a crazy period here through the pandemic. How have you guys continued to integrate that philosophy when it's been really challenging?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think back over the last 18 months, in March of 2020, when we got the news that we were all going to be moving into a stay-at-home environment. And I'm just really proud of our almost 6,000 professionals here at Deloitte in Chicago that we were able to pivot. We were able to take technologies that we were using that made our lives easier when we were working in the office and convert those technologies to be able to continue to serve our clients. And through it all, we found different ways to connect as a community. We weren't obviously in the early days of the pandemic able to get together in person, but we really encouraged people to continue physical activity, to do things that help their mental wellness. And we did a lot of virtual competitions, too, as Deloitte colleagues. And so we did a lot of walking, a lot of running for different charities that we like to support. And we did it as individuals rather than as a team of people getting together at the shuffle.
Kathy, that's pretty amazing, because I know there's been a lot of companies that have had a lot of challenges trying to keep their, you know, company teams together and motivated during the last year or so. And so how many runners would you say you have participating this year for Deloitte? Can we see a large group down at the Chicago Marathon?
Yeah, no, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but we do have a running club here at Deloitte. We have over 100 runners in that club. And I know there is a group of them, some that are competing as the running club, and we actually do have some others that are running individually for different charities that are being sponsors. So really, really proud of the Deloitte team.
Yeah, the Deloitte Running Club. Kathy Scherer with Deloitte on the line with us for another quick second. All right, considering all the challenges you face, you described as a leader at Deloitte during the pandemic, what do you think of how organizers have managed to build back this Chicago Marathon after last year's race was postponed? Sort of from an inside business perspective, Kathy, how impressive of a feat is it?
Yeah, I mean, I hear we've got close to 35,000 runners coming in our city. I personally am super excited because I live in the 1900 block of North Sedgwick. So I'm at about mile 11 of the marathon. It runs right by my house, and it's always signified what fall really means here in Chicago. And so I'm excited to see all the runners come by my house again. But I think it is truly amazing to see how the business community and our nonprofit communities are really starting to come back together in the city, getting out to events again. We were able to enjoy some good baseball this summer, and looking forward to getting back and seeing some of the Chicago teams this fall. And so I hats off to the Bank of America Chicago Marathon, because I think it's just one more example of how Chicago is thriving and recovering from what we've experienced in the last 18 months.
And hats off to the Chicago Marathon, indeed. And we want to wish good luck to the Deloitte
Josh,
team
have,
and many
have,
others training hard for race day.
One more thing, Kathy. Again, thanks to Deloitte for your continued support. But Those Deloitte team members of yours that are running the marathon, are they going to be able to come in a little bit later? Are you going to give them like a little bit less time to get little come in a little bit later? Maybe leave a little bit early on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. You know, here at Deloitte, we talked about we promote a flexible work environment, and we will definitely give all those marathoners a little bit of extra time to make their way
awesome.
In the office on
awesome.
Today.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's
you're
the kind
going
of company
on record
I want
here,
to work
so.
For.
Yeah, we Deloitte. Normally need more time to get up the stairs. So.
Yeah, Kathy, yeah, sure. Thanks
bet,
for the time. Appreciate the time.
Very good.
We're going to be back with more, a couple of fun interviews ahead, including U.S. star runner Galen Rupp returning to town. Stay with us. We're chugging along on the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Preview Special on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Living in Chicago teaches you how to keep going, to take life's headwinds head on. And while our grit and determination don't come easy, we simply don't know any other way. On October 10th, we'll share that resilient spirit with the world as we proudly welcome the Bank of America Chicago Marathon back to our city. Together, let's celebrate the power to keep moving forward. What would you like the power to do? Learn more at bankofamerica.com/Chicago Marathon. Copyright 2021, Bank of America Corporation.
For runners at the Bank of America Chicago Marathon, the real race begins when everything tells you to stop. That's why Gatorade Endurance Formula will be waiting for you along the course on race day. Scientifically formulated for the hydration and energy needs of endurance athletes, Gatorade Endurance Formula packs nearly 2 times the sodium and 3 times the potassium of traditional Gatorade, with no artificial flavors and a light taste to help you go farther. Available at Dick's Sporting Goods or go to GatoradeEndurance.com for more locations. Marathons come with aches and pains, and that's where BioFreeze can help. Whether it's sore muscles and joints, sprains, or strains, BioFreeze applies easily and cools the pain to get back to your best. BioFreeze is fast-acting and provides powerful pain relief. Pick up BioFreeze at a store near you today so that you can train with what's on course. BioFreeze, cool the pain. Use as directed. When you work with pods, you set the pace. We deliver your container, you load it in your driveway, and you keep it for as long as you need. Then we pick up your container and deliver it to your new home, all according to your schedule. Whether it's a short sprint across town or a long distance move, Pods is here to help you every step of the way. Call Pods, your personal moving and storage team, at 1-800-776-PODS or visit pods.com for a quote. Take part in the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Weekend by running the Abbott Chicago 5K on Saturday, October 9th. This scenic 5-kilometer run through downtown Chicago is the perfect way for marathoners, fans of the sport, and friends and family to celebrate all that can be achieved with good health. Runners will receive a unique bib number and finisher medal. Sign up today at Chicago5K.com. That's Chicago5K.com. Now, back to the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Preview Special, presented by Bank of America and brought to you in part by Nike, Abbott, Tata Consultancy Services, Advocate Healthcare, Gatorade Endurance, BioFreeze, American Airlines, Wanda Sports, Chicago Tribune, and the Chicago Park District. Here's Josh Liss, Kerry Pinkowski, and Jenny Spangler on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
My co-host today and on race day, Jenny Spangler, who's also a prominent running coach in the area, likes to use the phrase, the hay is in the barn when it comes to this point in marathon training schedule. She knows I'm pointing her out on this one. We're a week away from the Chicago Marathon Eve. So, Jenny, what do you mean more specifically when you tell marathon runners the hay is in the barn?
Well, typically, and especially this year, a lot of runners, obviously, they're eager to get to that starting line, and a lot of times they tend to start overthinking things. So they start wanting to do a few more miles or going too fast during their runs just because they're antsy to do that. And for this year, we haven't raced in a long time. I feel like people are doing too much and going out too quickly. So I'm just trying to tell them, just calm down, hay's in the barn. You're ready to go, so just relax and not worry about it.
Makes sense to me. Our next guest is also an area running coach with the Nike Run Club, an avid triathlete and runner herself. Coach Robin Lalonde is on the line. Nice to steal some of your time. Hi, Robin. You're also owner of Edge Athlete Lounge, a fitness and recovery center, 1747 North Elston in Chicago. Robin, How long has your relationship with Bank of America Chicago Marathon been? How long do you go back with the race, and what's your role in this year's race?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. Chicago Marathon, gosh, I think that's probably when I moved back to Chicago in 2004. I mean, we started volunteering then, but we've opened Edge and have been open for now 7.5 years. And I would say we got real thick with the Bank of America Chicago Marathon after that. You know, that is our biggest day for the city. It's our biggest day as a gym. It's our biggest day for our athletes. And we could not be more excited to have it going down in just about a week.
Yeah, Robin, last week we had Courtney Phillips with Gumblefitz on, and I know you two have partnered with a series called The Road Less Traveled. Can you speak to that a little bit? You know, what is it? How did it start? And how do you see, what's the future of this program?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for asking on it. I've said this before to our kind of communities as well, but Road Less Traveled, or we call it RLT, a lot of the times it's the thing that I'm probably most proud of after, you know, opening a small business. It was just the right thing at the right time. So when everything was shutting down last year, you know, we had the realization of like, we need our athletes to keep moving. I know GumboFit wants their athletes to keep moving. And more importantly than anything else, with everything else that went to happen in 2020, we want our miles to matter. So we started the Road Less Traveled series, and it started off as the idea to do a marathon and quickly snowballed into 6 events, where the number one job is to serve the community safely, keep people moving, and even more importantly, raise funds for Black and Brown fitness clubs in the city. And I think we've raised over $15,000 to date. So we've done everything from a 3-mile race all the way up to a marathon and kind of every step in between. And yeah, it's been a wild ride. We have a really, really great planning committee. We meet weekly. Right now we're in the thick of it. So we're meeting 2-3 times a week. And it's just really gratifying to be able to create something for the community, by the community, and then pay all that good mojo forward. And where it's going is we actually have tomorrow, on the 3rd, we have our marathon pregame. So we realized we don't necessarily need to do a race right now because races are happening, right? But we do need to serve runners and we do still want to raise funds. So we came up with the concept of the pregame, which is effectively a mini expo, a stage that really has panelists and featured guests. And then of course, you know, just serving the athletes and getting them race day ready. It's not exclusively for marathoners, but it is marathon heavy, given that we'll be a week out when we do it. And of course, it's all, you know, COVID friendly. We'll be following all guidelines. So, you know, masks inside. But really, everybody's nervous. They don't know what to do with that energy. But if we can, you know, get them a sports psych and have them talk to pros and have them talk to, you know, executive race directors, we will arm them so that they can toe that line on the tent as really the best version of themselves possible. And it's cool to be serving them in that capacity.
Well, we're talking with Robin Lalonde, coach extraordinaire, marathon coach. Robin, I have a question for you. It's been 728 days, and I'm still, you know, having a hard time with that when you look at that number. But we're back with a live event. How are you, like, you know, working with your team? You're going to have over 100 participants in the marathon. That's amazing. But I mean, I think there's a lot of energy. Jenny talked about that, where people haven't run, they haven't had access to live events, and here we are. So what I'm seeing is that I can't wait. I want to do this. I want to do that. There's a lot of energy. How do you make sure you sculpt that energy so that they stay on pace and stay focused on their task and stay within their training guidelines?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we had the whole discussion of like having the two watches on right at the beginning of the marathon because we haven't done that in 2 years. So we do pretty heavy race planning with our group. So just, you know, teaching them how to write the race plan and then how to execute the race plan, you know, especially when things like, you know, tens of thousands of runners are running at once. If we lose a GPS signal, how we can troubleshoot. And more importantly than anything, like when you said it, we haven't done this in 728 days. It is not going to be perfect. And it might be, but it's the likelihood of it being perfect is not high. So giving yourself just a little bit of grace and realizing that it's what we do with the imperfection and the challenges that present itself during the race that really kind of define us as athletes. It takes the pressure off, but it also puts everybody into this fun mode where they're able to kind of pivot if things do go a little bit crazy. I also think, you know, my coach always told me, you know, you've got to make a plan and then plan to race, and then you race the plan. You live and die kind of by what that plan says, and that is no different today than it is on race day. And that's just what they've been doing all season long. So I hope that they follow it. But I agree. I think people are going to go out a little speedy.
Yeah, agree. So, yeah, Robin, there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of first-time marathoners out there in 1 week. And I know we talked to Sarah Hall last week on the show, and she had said one of her quotes was, run the mile you are in. And I know you have a slightly different one, be where your feet are, which I love. What would you say is the number one tip for first-time marathoners when they line up in 1 week?
I do love progressive pacing. I think that it's really important to try to not go out too fast in that first 10K, 10 miles. That would probably be the number one. Along with that, excitement that happens in the first 10 is forgetting nutrition and hydration. So staying on what you've been doing, so that, you know, what you put in mile one is what you're using in mile 21. So if we mess up the first 10K, you're not going to have a lot in the bank for the final 10K from a nutrition standpoint. So just being very, very, very mindful on your race execution, whether that's pacing or nutrition and hydration in that first, you know, 6 to 10 mile segment.
After last year's race was wiped out and the tragedy of the pandemic on everyone's minds, crossing the finish line may take on some more meaning than usual. Robin, what do you think of that? Have you picked up on folks that you may or may not be training, just people in the community saying that this race may mean more than usual crossing that finish line?
We are seeing, I know at Edge, just we can't keep up with our info account right now because everybody is feeling the energy of the marathon coming. So we have people asking about Ironmans in 18 months, and that is not normal. Usually it's like a 6 or 12 month ahead of time. There's just like this excitement and frenzy happening that is, it's infectious. And I always think about, you know, the marathon goes on and it's almost like this like spark runs through the city on that 26.2 mile course. And it might, you know, in a lot of cases, it does inspire the next generation of runners. But when you see that many people go through, you think, wow, I kind of want to do that, or I want to do something epic. And that is just like, I mean, our whole city is just a ball of sparklers right now. And it's going to be even bigger when we get to the tent.
Yeah.
You see what you've done, Carrie Pinkowski, race director? You've started a frenzy.
Well, Robin, I know you're quite the accomplished athlete yourself. In fact, I heard that you won an ultra over the weekend. So I'm just, you know, wondering how you have time to fit all of your training in with all the athletes that you coach. And tell us more about this ultra.
Yeah, it was a smaller race. So winning, I'm very proud of, but it's not like winning, you know, the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. A lot of times, honestly, fitting it in is a perk of coaching. So if they're doing 15 miles, you know, I can do 15 miles right alongside them and get some of that mileage in. And honestly, this year, above all else, like I have wanted to do more from a racing standpoint because it's just such a privilege now that, you know, we didn't know how much we wanted it when we had it. And now that it was taken away, I think it just makes it all the sweeter. So, you know, all of the athletes out there that are just doing epic things, it makes me want to do, you know, that even more. Like I thought about them all 50 miles. So it was a good day. And they definitely drove home those last few miles because there was a lot of suffering.
Well, will we see you out on the course on marathon day, or what is your plan?
Yeah, absolutely. We will have a cheer zone right before mile 18. Edge will as well. And then you might see me at the finish line too.
Nice. Okay.
Not racing.
One of the unsung heroes in the Chicago running community, Robin Lalonde, Nike Run Club coach, owner of Edge Athlete Lounge, a fitness and recovery center, very popular, 1747 North Elston Avenue in Chicago. We appreciate your time on the preview special.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
You are welcome. We've got more ahead, even with one of the top U.S. runners, Galen Rupp. Stay with us. Seriously, don't go away. We've got an extended chat with an Olympian coming up on the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Preview Special here on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Living in Chicago teaches you how to keep going, to take life's headwinds head on. And while our grit and determination don't come easy, we simply don't know any other way. On October 10th, we'll share that resilient spirit with the world as we proudly welcome the Bank of America Chicago Marathon back to our city. Together, let's celebrate the power to keep moving forward. What would you like the power to do? Learn more at bankofamerica.com/Chicago Marathon. Copyright 2021, Bank of America Corporation.
Marathons come with aches and pains, and that's where BioFreeze can help. Whether it's sore muscles and joints, sprains, or strains, BioFreeze applies easily and cools the pain to get back to your best. BioFreeze is fast-acting and provides powerful pain relief. Pick up BioFreeze at a store near you today so that you can train with what's on course. BioFreeze, cool the pain. Use as directed. Get fit this fall with the Chicago Park District, offering low-cost in-person and virtual programs in fitness, nutrition, and sports for all age groups, ability levels, and for families, as well as state-of-the-art fitness centers, pools, and athletic facilities at parks around the city. Take a class or join a team. In-person and online registration for the upcoming winter session is right around the corner. Visit ChicagoParkDistrict.com for class schedules at your local park, as well as other park locations, and for more information. Stay informed about the 2021 Bank of America Chicago Marathon with the Chicago Tribune's in-depth coverage. Find out where to eat, drink, and watch these inspiring athletes accomplish the feat of a lifetime. Worried about making your way to and from the race? The Chicago Tribune has your road closures, alternative routes, and public transportation options covered. Visit chicagotribune.com/marathon or subscribe today. Now, back to the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Preview Special, presented by Bank of America and brought to you in part by Nike, Abbott, Tata Consultancy Services, Advocate Healthcare, Gatorade Endurance, BioFreeze, American Airlines, Wanda Sports, Chicago Tribune, and the Chicago Park District. Here's Josh Liss, Kerry Pinkowski, and Jenny Spangler on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Galen Rupp was the first American in 15 years to win the Bank of America Chicago Marathon in 2017. Finished in fifth place a year later. 2019 was tough. He toed the line but dropped out after 22 miles. Last year's race was postponed, obviously. Galen ran tough in the heat, finishing eighth at the Olympics this past summer. Should point out he's got a marathon bronze and a 10,000-meter silver on his Olympic resume. And now showing up in Chicago once again, and he's here with us on the preview special. Galen Rupp, it's great to have you with us. What kind of taste, Galen, did dropping out of that 2019 race leave in your mouth, and how might it have it affected your motivation and or preparation for next week?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Certainly 2019 was a real disappointing race. I tore my Achilles and I tore a couple of tendons in my ankle about almost exactly a year before that. So that was always kind of, after having surgery, something that I had targeted was coming back to Chicago. And, unfortunately that race did not go well. I think I made it to about 20, 21 miles somewhere in there. My body just gave out. I probably wasn't physically where I should have been. I thought I could still run well and was still having a decent race, but it just wasn't in the cards that day. But certainly ever since I stopped there and had some time to think about it, my motivation was always about coming back, because I've had so many great races in Chicago, had some great memories there. I won in 2017 and I love Cary. I love the people and I love the city, in that race. And it's such a special place for me that I definitely knew I wanted to come back, because I couldn't leave, with that bad taste in my mouth, like you said.
Well, Galen Rupp, a question I would have for you, and I've known you for quite a while and followed your career. I mean, you've been so successful, at all levels arguably the greatest American distance runner of all time. Josh talked about your Olympic medals, your American records. You've won a major. You've done some amazing things. And, the thing that sticks out, I mean, athletically, I watched you run in London. I got to watch you run in the Olympics. And is that this past couple of years, I mean, obviously for you, it was a transition year. The injury, radical surgery. I mean, that was pretty, that's a surgery that not a lot of people come back from, and that heartbreak of Chicago last time around, the surgery, and then Jenny and I were both in Atlanta, and I know we had talked before then, and you you were very upbeat, and then you just ran a masterful, amazing performance. You looked amazing. you win the Olympic trials and off to Tokyo, and wham, the Olympics gets postponed, and you got to reset, rethink, reschedule all those things. You know, at this point in your career, how do you process all that stuff, and how do you keep your motivation going during that period? I mean, that was a heartbreaking time for all of us, but for you personally, especially where you are in your career.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously, like you said, everything with the pandemic has been hard on everybody, you know, and I always try to keep that perspective of, you know, I play a game for a living, that, you know, there are a lot of people dealing with a lot of bigger problems from the pandemic. So I never let myself get, you know, too down or too worried about what I was doing, because there were certainly much bigger issues going on in the world these last couple of years. But, you know, it was definitely tough for me. You know, there were certainly days where, you know, it was hard to get out the door, and I always made sure, you know, you get your work in, but you certainly, there's that little bit of extra push, you know, that you're able to get out of yourself in workouts when you know you've got a race coming up. And when everything started getting postponed and canceled, it was hard, you know, because you're kind of just training for the sake of training. And, you know, my coach and I, we really tried to take advantage of that time. And, you know, once we had a little time to think about everything and just process what was going on, it was like, all right, how are we going to come out of this better? And that was always the thing, kind of my mantra throughout the whole pandemic, was just make sure you're getting better every day. You know, normally, you know, we run two marathons a year. And obviously we were able to get the Olympic trials in early 2020, right before the pandemic started. I mean, literally a week before everything started getting canceled. So felt lucky to get that in. And then we had a lot of time, and still, you know, coming back from that surgery, like you mentioned, there were a lot of things that I needed to work on, you know, physically. And I really tried to put a priority on my health and getting my body strong again, and taking advantage of that time where I don't have to get right back into a marathon buildup, because, yeah, we knew that it was going to be probably another year, a year and a half that we had from the Olympic trials. And, you know, when I don't have to put as many miles on every week, you know, all that pounding and stress, you're able to focus on some of the other things that you're not able to do in training. So we definitely tried to get back to doing more speed work and a lot of rehab and just getting my health back, so that when I did, the races were able to start up again, you know, I was in the best shape possible. But absolutely, there were a lot of days that it was really hard, and it was hard to find that extra fire and extra motivation, you know, especially early on in the pandemic when you didn't know what that training was geared towards. You know, it was just kind of, you want to stay in shape, but you also don't want to, you know, kill yourself and put all this undue stress on your body. So we tried to find that balance there of making sure we're doing enough, obviously doing some things that I might not be able to do had I been in a normal marathon buildup. But at the same time, you know, trying to save my body from a little bit of that pounding. You know, it's like a running back in the NFL. If they don't have to get hit, you know, in practice and doing all that, they're going to take that time to not, you know, injure their body more or put themselves at a higher risk, so that when the games come, they're ready to go.
Wow, that's great insight, Galen. And just, you know, if we can shift a little bit to Tokyo, how was it in your preparation for Tokyo? You know, at first you had a course set in Tokyo, and then because of weather, they shifted up a little further north for hopefully that it would be cooler weather. It wasn't. How did you deal with the heat and humidity, and how did you train for that?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely tough conditions. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, obviously nobody could have foreseen it, but I think it was actually cooler and a little rainy in Tokyo the day they ran the marathon than it was in Sapporo where we had it. So probably would have been better off if we had just kept it there. But, you know, that stuff is out of all our control, you know, as athletes. And, you know, Sapporo, they did a great job, you know, especially with everything in the pandemic, making sure it was safe. And you know, it was a tough day, I think, for a lot of people. You know, everybody knew it was going to be really hot and really humid. And I certainly tried to prepare for that as best I could, you know, making sure that I was running in a chamber where we could get the humidity up a lot. You know, I was training in sweats a lot outside and just trying to do everything to get your body used to running in the heat. And, you know, I had a few little small things come up where I wasn't able to quite hit all the big workouts in the buildup. So, you know, that was obviously a little bit frustrating, but, you know, I had a little bit of a rough race in Sapporo, and that's just the way it goes sometimes. You know, I felt great, but if about 30K. You know, I really just hit a wall. It was really sudden. And I don't think I've ever died like that before in a marathon, where I was really just really struggling for, you know, a long time. You know, the last 6 miles or so were definitely a grind. But, you know, I was proud of myself, the way that I hung in there and, you know, still competed. And a lot of people were dropping out that day. And again, you just gotta do what you can. And, you know, I definitely was not going to drop out. That was not a question. And sometimes you just got to gut through those tough races and, you know, go back and look at, you know, what you could have done differently, how you could have maybe prepared a little differently. But I will say, you know, my training has been so much better, you know, even since the Olympics. So I'm real excited because I've been able to hit, you know, a lot of those big workouts and even exceeded a lot of them heading into Chicago. So I'm real excited. You know, I'm actually real thankful that there was another race that came up so soon after the Olympics. So I'm getting pumped for a week from now when we toe the line.
Four-time Olympian Galen Rupp here on the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Preview Special. Josh Liss, Kerry Pinkowski, Jenny Spangler with the Olympian. Mr. Rupp, I want to ask you, coming into Chicago, about goals, and you talked about hitting your marks in training. What is your training informing you about how to set up your goals for this year's Chicago Marathon?
I mean, you know, my goal is to win. You know, I'm at a point in my career where that's pretty much the goal. Every time I step to the line in a marathon, you know, everything is always geared towards those. We really only run two races a year. So you got to make them count, you know, and so much preparation and training. I mean, months and months of time go into that one day that, you know, you really want to make sure that you're firing all cylinders when you toe the line. And this is no different here. My training's been going really well. You know, again, I did a long run earlier in the middle of the week, you know, getting ready for this. That went great. Yeah, got a harder workout tomorrow. That'll probably be the last hard thing that I do, you know, about a week out from the race. And after that, you know, it's really just about resting. But my training's been going great. You know, my coach, Mike Smith, is really, really excited about where I'm at. You know, it's been fun. We weren't sure how things were going to be coming off of the Olympics because it certainly was a little bit of a tight turnaround, you know, as far as marathons go. But, you know, I've really been on a roll in training these last 4 or 5 weeks, you know, hitting a lot of workouts, exceeding a lot of them, what he had written out. So, yeah, we're both real excited heading into this race.
Kerry Pinkowski, you feeling the confidence coming out of Galen?
I do feel it. Galen, I have a question for you. When you're preparing for Chicago or the Olympics or any of the races that you're looking at or you're going to compete in, do you look at the competition? Does that affect your training, or you have a set goal and you get in the best and then it comes to race day where it is? Is that everything you factor, you and your coach factor into the preparation and the buildup?
Definitely. You know, obviously you're always trying to get in the best shape possible, but that can certainly vary, you know, depending on the field and depending on the course. You know, Chicago is a real flat course. You know, there's always a great field that you can put together. This year is no different. You know, there's several really great Ethiopian runners that I'm really looking forward to competing against. And certainly you need to be aware, you know, of what their tendencies are and, you know, how you think the race might go. But, you know, that's one of the things that I really love about marathon running, and especially with Chicago, that there's not pacemakers there every year. I think, you know, as strictly a fan, I think it's so much more exciting when you don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's not very calculated from the start, and it's not really one of these races where you just kind of see who can hang on and, you know, people kind of slowly just die off one by one. I think it's way more exciting when you've got a race that you don't know what's going to happen. You could have a guy take it out hard from the start. It very well could be a really fast race, but you also have a lot of surges. You got a lot more tactics and, you know, guys putting in moves in different parts of the race. And I think that that's really, really exciting to watch. And my favorite thing when I'm watching a marathon and competing too, you know, I think it just adds a whole nother element when it's not something where all you have to do is kind of turn your mind off and try to relax and stay on a pace as long as you can. You know, you got to be ready for different moves and you got to practice that in training. You know, you can't just be kind of in time trial shape where you're going to run a hard pace right from the start. Because again, you don't know how the race is going to go. And so I think that it's more fun as a fan, I think, and definitely as an athlete, you know, I've always enjoyed that. It really needs to come down to competition. That's one of the greatest things about the sport of distance running, is that it's competition in its purest form. You know, who can get to the line first? And you can get there a lot of different ways. And when you have that element of surprise where you don't know what's going to happen, you can throw in different moves and really start to play more of a mental game with your competitors. You know, I've always really thrived and loved that challenge.
Yeah, Galen.
Jenny, to you in a second. I know it's time for questions from the Bank of America Chicago Marathon social media platforms, the Instas, the Twitters, the Facebookers. They all have questions for you, Galen. And let's send it over to our Olympian, Jenny Spangler, who's going to read the first question to you. What do you have, Jen?
All right. So, Galen, these are questions from our listeners. Some of them are going to be participating in the 5K in a week. Some of them will be on the marathon. Some are just out there to cheer you on. So here are number one. Here is actually the number one question that has been posed to us. What did Kipchoge say to you during the Olympic Games?
You know, I actually don't remember what it was exactly, but you know, he was just kind of smiling, and it was really friendly in nature. You know, I remember him just kind of saying like, "We're all good. You know, how you been?" You know, it was really kind of a friendly thing. I was really excited to see him. You know, I love competing against him. And just as a person, there's really nobody better. You know, it was, we kind of had a little moment before the race started. And even afterwards, you know, it was great to see him. Obviously, I told him congratulations. He smiled and asked how I was doing, how the race went. And yeah, he's awesome, you know, and it really wasn't, it was just kind of a friendly thing where he was smiling and just asked if I needed to get out or anything like that. But it wasn't anything major, I guess, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah. Well, actually, my phone lit up when all that was happening. What do you think? What was going on? What were they saying? And so it's been like a speculation for many, many weeks now. So thanks for clarifying that for everybody.
Yeah, he was talking with a lot of people in there. Yeah, I mean, just kind of. Some people wanted to just say hi to him. You know, there were some athletes that did that, and that was really cool to see. And he just handles that all so well. That was kind of something that was going on, I think, with a lot of people, you know, especially in those early stages of the marathon.
You know, one of the legends of the game, Eliud Kipchoge, chirping to you, or to at least have a little bit of a conversation during the Olympic Games. Jenny, what's next from our listeners?
Okay, question number two. What is your favorite part of the Chicago Marathon course?
Oh, favorite part of the course.
I don't know if you get a chance to look at it much. You're running so fast, but
it goes by pretty fast.
Yeah, don't say the finish line.
Yeah.
Don't say Wrigley Field.
I love. Yeah, going through Wrigleyville neighborhoods isn't bad. You know, I know you kind of hit that northern point. You don't quite get to Wrigley, but you still hit some of the neighborhoods. That's pretty sweet, but. Yeah, the finish line is that's obviously the greatest thing. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you're tired, and once you see that, you know, there's that big hill. There's a Roosevelt? I can't remember the street
Mount
that
Roosevelt,
it is.
Yes.
Mount
Roosevelt. Yeah, but you head up Roosevelt, which it does feel like a mountain after, you know, running 26 miles, but you got about a quarter mile to go there, and you hit the top and make that turn, and you see the finish line. There really is no better feeling because you know you made it.
Hey, can I take the last one for Jenny,
sure.
For Galen?
Yep, go for it.
I like the one about nerves here. Do you still get nervous before racing? Whether you say yes or no, what is nervous to Galen Rupp these days?
I still get nervous before every race. You know, I remember when I very first started running in middle school and definitely in high school, you know, I would ask, I'd tell my mom, you know, when I was younger, it's like I had this feeling in my stomach and, you know, right in the pit of it, and she's like, "Oh, that's just pre-race nerves, you know, that's normal." And then in high school, you know, I'd still ask my coaches because it was just like felt unbearable sometimes. You know, you get so anxious before the start of a race, but it always felt to me like once that gun goes off, it all just disappears right away. And I think that it's a totally normal thing. You know, when people ask me about it, that's what usually I like to say, is that I think everybody gets nervous. You know, personally, I'm more worried if I don't have that anxiousness or nervous feeling before a big race. It's just a part of it, you know, and I think just recognizing it, acknowledging it, but not reading too much into it either is really important. And especially in a marathon or any, you know, race where you're running a far distance, it's important to not let that excitement and anxiousness really get to you at the start of the race, because it's so easy because there's so much energy. Obviously, you put in weeks, months training, getting ready for a big event, and the crowd's there, and you're really amped to go, and it's so easy to get carried away and go out too fast. So, you know, I always try to stay really as calm as possible. You know, it's those nerves are unavoidable, but the calmer I can keep my mind, you know, keep my breathing down, and really in the marathon, so much of it is about conserving energy, especially in the beginning part of the race, that you really want to concentrate on, you know, not going out too fast. And if it feels easy, that's okay. You know, let that be and, you know, kind of ride that wave, because it will definitely get hard, you know, at some point. So you're just kind of trying to delay that and use that energy in a positive way at the start of the race.
So Galen, do you have like a playlist or anything you listen to, or how do you keep your nerves calm?
No, not really. I'm not a huge, I don't listen to a lot of music when I run. Every once in a while I do, but even before, you know, if I listen to anything, it's going to be like probably the opposite of what you'd think, like something really slow, you know, low key, like sometimes it's like R&B or something like that. But something that's really going to keep me calm. You know, I'm not trying to get really amped up, especially before a marathon, because like I said, you know, I think there's more of a danger when you're so psyched up that you just, you know, like this big ball of energy that's like revving to go at the start, and you just end up wasting so much, you know, because there's all that excitement, and
you got to run the mile you're in, right, Galen?
Right, there you go.
Exactly, yeah. So it's about staying present, you know, like I do a lot of breathing exercises. You know, I usually just lay down and close my eyes until it's time to, you know, start warming up. But I'm really trying to stay like as calm and low key as possible before the start of the race, because yeah, the excitement and nerves, once you see the crowd and the start line and all that, that's going to come naturally. You don't have to worry about that. But I think there's more of a danger of getting too revved up, especially at the start of a marathon.
Well, you definitely brought some excitement to today's marathon preview special, and want to wish you luck on race day. Appreciate you hanging out with us.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to be there. You know, I'm pumped to be toeing the line there here in 8 days.
Four-time Olympian, 2017 marathon champion in Chicago, Galen Rupp has big plans for race day. Well, Carrie Pinkowski, Jenny Spangler, we can see the finish line right about here on the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Preview Special. I want to wish everybody good luck out there. And so long to my co-hosts, Jenny and Carrie. I'm Josh Liss, signing off on the Bank of America Chicago Marathon Preview Special here on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.